Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I found myself this week really trying to be so careful that I had the message that the Lord wanted me to bring. And sometimes we start in one area, but if we'll really wait on the Lord, He just kind of gave me a message that I have total peace in, and I trust it'll be a blessing to the people tonight. You know, I love to study the whole broad field of Bible prophecy or things to come. And there's a lot of material. The ultimate truth facing human life on this planet is a sin problem. And thank God we've heard and received the message of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Romans 10:9-10, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved. Thank God he gives the message of John 3:16 to the whole world, but we're still here. And God has a purpose once we become believers in Jesus Christ. And that has to do with the transformation of our spirit. I think of Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but transformed through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why meetings like this happen, that we might enter into that transformation of our human soul. I'd like to share on that subject. And I've found, since I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and even before that, as a young boy growing up back in Ohio, brought up in a Christian home, the transformation that God wants to work in our lives, it's a lifetime experience. And 1 Corinthians 13 is an amazing chapter. Most of you are familiar with it. It speaks of three godly realities which affect our growth, our spiritual growth. And those are faith, hope, and charity or love. The Apostle Paul writes that charity or love is the greatest of these three. And I say amen to that. Verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 13 says that love never faileth. The Apostle Paul tells us that God's agape love, it's more than just a warm inner feeling that we could have for somebody or something. Lust can do that. But the Apostle Paul, and I'm so thankful for this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he gives us 15 characteristics or fruits of agape love in our lives so we can get some kind of an idea of where we're at with God. Are we growing? So these 15 character traits have always been important to me all my life, and it will be as long as I'm here. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Those are keys that we can understand, and we can see it in others' lives, and it gives some basis to know where we are in our walk with the Lord. Over the years of my ministry, I've always loved to study Bible characters to see how these 15 attributes have worked in some of the lives of the people we read about in the Bible. This is the direction that the Lord had me go. There couldn't be anything more important in the area of things to come in our lives than we continue to be transformed, prepared for heaven. There's one Bible character who stands out to me that I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you tonight. He's a little known man. Some people don't even know about his story in the Bible. His name is Mephibosheth. When I get choked up when I think about this man. His life explodes in demonstration of the 15 character fruits of agape love. And man, this is something that we should all want in our life. And so let me kind of sum up his life. That was so much on my heart that we were able to put out a little booklet where women could even carry it in their purse. It's just tiny. Sometimes you need to just be ready to give these things out. We've given so many thousands of those out. And I think Cindy brought some tonight if anybody wants a copy. You remember the story of David and Jonathan, all of us do. They were military men, heroes, fighters. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And sometimes he was caught between what his dad was feeling. His dad was very protective of his ministry and at times feared that David was too aggressive as God's next anointed to take his place. And David and Jonathan had a great friendship together. We're told that Saul and Jonathan died fighting on Mount Gilboa. I remember walking through the forest of Gilboa, just wondering exactly where this happened. Both of them died on Mount Gilboa. And it's interesting how the scripture says that there was a nurse that was taking care of Jonathan's 5-year-old son. And she began to feel like, with the sudden loss of King Saul, that David's house would move in and take over, and there would be some purging. And she actually thought this boy's life was in danger. She hurriedly left the scene where she was at, and the boy was only 5 years old. He fell and injured his feet. He became a cripple in both feet. As I continue, just kind of summarizing Mephibosheth's life, David went on then to be blessed. We all know that he served about 7 years in Hebron as king over the two southern tribes. And then he became king in Jerusalem for some 33 years, total 40 years in Jerusalem. At some time, well into his tenure as king in Jerusalem, you know, he must have been just meditating on the Lord, like here we're doing that here tonight. And David felt like, I need to know if there are any descendants out there of Jonathan, Saul, that I could still bless him. And when he inquired, he was told, yes, that there is a young boy whose name is Mephibosheth. And he's living at a place that was kind of distance from Jerusalem. And David immediately went to get Mephibosheth. And the place he was living at, all we know, the meaning of the name Lodabar, is that it wasn't a good pasture. That's all we can know about his life at that point. And he's brought to Jerusalem. He's very humble. David was so moved that this boy was found. And I've always thought, well, why? David and Jonathan were close friends. How come David was so long in finding out that his best friend had a boy? And if you study it out, his mother's name was Rizpah. She was a Hivite girl, not Jewish. And so she was a concubine of King Saul. So you can kind of put two to two together. She was the mother of Mephibosheth. And maybe that's a situation that Jonathan was involved in that David didn't really know anything about it. But David is so moved that he, by executive order, says all the inheritance of King Saul, his whole family inheritance, goes to this boy. At this time, he was a young man now. And there was a man named Ziba and his 15 sons who were given the responsibility of taking care of this inheritance for Mephibosheth, because he was still a cripple. And we go on to read a little bit further into David's experience as king in Jerusalem, and most of you know the story of how his son Absalom rebelled against his father. We're told that there was a deep conspiracy, and it built up to the point where David realized he would have to flee Jerusalem, go across the Jordan, go east, and to save his life. Absalom had so cunningly entered in, and we're told that he met there at the Jordan. He was going over with a lot of group of people, and Mephibosheth was not there. Ziba had told him, look, you're crippled and it would be a handicap situation, and just let me speak to David for you. And he sure did, because David wanted to know where was Mephibosheth. And Ziba says, he thinks this is an hour now that his family can, the family of Saul can come back in. And that so shocked David that he said, in anxiety, he said, I'm giving you all the inheritance. Ziba, you have it all. I'm taking it away from Mephibosheth. So David leads, and he goes into hiding. In time, Absalom and his soldiers were defeated by David. God sent help to David, a Philistine boy who David had just shown love to, came with 600 top-grade fighters to stand with David. David's forces were victorious over Absalom. Absalom dies. David, as he comes victoriously back into the land, was greeted by all of his friends. Mephibosheth was there, but David gave him a cold shoulder, didn't speak to him. Ziba and his 15 boys were there putting on a big show. Later, Mephibosheth and David meet in Jerusalem. And David questions Mephibosheth, "Where were you when I left?" And he said, "I was told it'd be better I didn't go because of my physical condition." But he said, "Ziba slandered me." I'll tell you what, if you've ever been under conviction, and we all have at times, David was under conviction. The Holy Spirit witnessed to him that he was wrong in what he had done. He realized he was conned. David again was so caught up in the emotion of it that he made another rash decision. He said, "Okay, you divide the inheritance." Mephibosheth, his response, "Let him take it all. Let Ziba have it." And what David didn't know, and I don't know if he even knows to this day, unless he's tuned in, he was such a godly young man. He made a vow to the Lord. "I will not dress my feet. I will not take care of it. I will not wash my clothes. I will not shave my beard. I'll be in fasting and prayer, and I won't do any of those things until you bring David back." Until David victoriously returns. And the key understanding that I felt God wanted me to share tonight, the receiving of agape love is one of the greatest events that could happen in anybody's life. Mephibosheth, as you know, the Hebrew names, they have a real meaning to it. It means he is a deliverer of shame. I can remember as a young boy growing up, the Depression back in Ohio, more than once, I wasn't doing what I should do. I remember my mother telling me, "Shame on you, Bob." Mephibosheth is a destroyer of shame. He had these great attributes of agape love. And Ziba, he had 15 sons. They're fruits of the flesh. But isn't it interesting that his name means to station oneself? You know, come up with ideas that I can win, I can, whatever tactic I need. He stationed himself. Two opposites. You know, in this life, and I thank God that He saves us, makes the salvation experience real every day. But this agape love desire that he has to be in our life is something that continually is working, a transformation. Revelation 22:1 tells us that, verse 1, John said, God showed him a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne. There's a picture of the preparation to move into eternity. That flowing stream has to be God's agape love. I think Revelation 22 is a good chapter for us to often review. When I sense the presence of the Lord and he's really taking over, he's pretty much just written on the tablets of my heart. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. His name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, but they will behold his face. The Lord God will give them light. And John said that the angel that he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets has sent an angel to show unto his servants those things which must shortly be done. He said, behold, I come quickly. My work is reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. The prophet said that I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see that thou doest it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. He that is filthy, let him be more filthy. The people need to choose. He that is righteous, encourage him to be more righteous. And he that's holy, encourage him to be more holy. Hallelujah. He said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. John goes on to write, blessed are they that keep his commandments, that they may enter through the gates into the city, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angels unto you. The angel that was to give this message to John. I want the message to go out into the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the fountain of the water of life freely. John closes the great chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. He says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto this book, God shall add on him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God will take his name out of the book of life, out of the things that are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, behold, I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And then those closing couple of verses Our Lord says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Most people stop there. One of the richest things is that final word that's written in the Bible, amen. In Hebrew, the word amen means, so be it. But I think there's between 70 and 80 times that I counted in the Bible where the word amen is used, and only one time is it not a capital letter. Amen is the signature of the writer of the book. The book was written about him. He's the writer of the book. I love, since the Lord showed me that, to just stop and honor my Lord by the richness of that amen. I could have gone many different directions. I love to study about Russia and different, but I felt my final time here tonight, the Lord is saying, the greatest subject as far as things to come in the life of a believer is if they'll cooperate with the Holy Spirit in being transformed. And in closing, thank you for the opportunity of being here to fellowship with you the past four, this is the fourth Wednesday. I have in my hand a booklet. It's entitled, It's Time to Run. And Cindy brought a supply of these books tonight. I just want to share with you, if you'd like to have a copy, you're certainly welcome. I feel this. What's in this book is so pertinent to what God is doing right now in the church. Peter Brock and I co-authored this work. Peter has had a great career as a newspaper journalist, been all over the world. He was attending Faith Bible Chapel Died in a coma when he was called to Minnesota in that area in about 1975 or 76. He and I have kept in touch, and we've been close friends for 40 years. In this booklet, the prophet Habakkuk does what most of the prophets do. He'll just share about his day. That would go back to 600 BC. And the situation in Judah was not very good. But an amazing thing happened. The Holy Spirit changes the scene from that which was taking place in Judah to a last day setting. And there's such richnesses in the message in the book of Habakkuk. That's a book written for the church, for this hour. Listen to what the prophet was told in Habakkuk 2:3. Habakkuk, what you're writing is a vision, and it is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak. No question about the fact that the time period changed. It's a book written for the church in this closing hour of history. The vision speaks. Whom shall it speak? Habakkuk 1:5 says that regard and wonder marvelously. He says, because I will work a work in your days. This is being spoken to the church. You will not believe it if it was told to you. Peter Brock and I have studied for so many years this booklet, this book. It's written to those among the nations. I shared with you earlier in 1 Corinthians 10:32, God sees the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God in this world. It's a message to the church. Habakkuk reveals, I'm just quickly summarizing it up, about the Babylonian satanic evil spirits that seek to resist and hinder the purposes of Almighty God in this earth. And we all know Satan can steal, kill, destroy, but he cannot thwart the ultimate purposes of Almighty God in this earth. They will find fulfillment. To fulfill divine purpose, Habakkuk is told that God will, in these last days, sovereignly invade the world church situation with his troops. I mean, right away, people are going to set this aside for some crazy preacher that's preaching that. It's not something you're quickly going to believe. But I'm telling you what the scripture says. And the efforts of God's angelic troops, they can't be seen, but they'll come, under the lordship of the Holy Spirit, will be sent to make sovereign correction in his church in preparation for these last days, that God then will have a people that can run with God. Judgment's got to start at the house of God. This book makes it clear God does not want to judge. He wants correction. And when he sees that correction, he's going to have a people. They're going to be runners. That's the amazing story of the book of Habakkuk. Over the years, just only maybe 4 or 5 years ago that we wrote this booklet, I can't remember the exact date, Peter and I would often say, it's almost like Habakkuk should be right with Timothy in some of the messages about prophecy. And I said, Peter, you're a journalist. Write it. He said, why should I write it? Nobody's going to believe it. That's what it says. And he would tell me to write it. Why? Nobody's going to believe it. We finally came to the position where I just felt I had to make some kind of an effort to do it. And I told Peter, I said, I won't try it unless you'll commit your journalistic, and he's such an excellent journalist, and we do it together. I would need a journalist to help me do this. And that's how this little book came to be. What I'd like to do is just make it available to you. And I'll not be offended if you read a little bit of it and just put it aside, because that's what the Bible says you're going to do. Either George or Jason, if you would come and close it as you feel led. Cindy's got these books afterwards, dismissal. If you would like a copy, be my guest to take a copy. Thanks for letting me share.
I've asked Pastor Bob to stay here a moment. It wouldn't be appropriate if we didn't pray for him. So I want us to do that, and then after I want to announce something, but can we have some people come on up here, and let's gather around Pastor Bob. We want to pray for his strength, his healing, just... Yeah, there's a little vertigo he has going in his body, and I know what that's like. I have a little bit, but you know, just that he could live out his days that God has destined for him to live. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So all stand up a minute. Let's all reach your hands forward here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Jim, come on up here. Don't look good. Matter of fact, because you did come up immediately, you're going to pray. Here you go. I want you to pray.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Jesus. We are so grateful for your servants. Father, we thank you for this man of God who has served you his whole life. We thank you for him being the father of this ministry. Lord God, we pray you would bless him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord Jesus. Father, that you would manifest the spirit of Jesus in him, that he would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that he would be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord God, that he would live out his days with the strength of Moses. Father God, that he will come strong and fearless as he comes to finish out the days that you have for him. Open the path, Lord God, that he might be that warring man of God all the way through the end. We ask you to bless him with strength, with anointing, with your power and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.